Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Embracing Your Essence on Lilydale Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today, watching and listening on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Colleen van der Zijden, a registered medium at Lilydale. Lilydale is the largest spiritualist community in the world, and people from all over the world do come to visit Lilydale during the summer season especially, but also all year round. I know some people, when they think of Lilydale, if they don't really understand it, they don't realize what it is. And it is a community that is based around the religion of spiritualism. And with the religion of spiritualism, we are talking about understanding there is a God of your own understanding, and the understandings as well of healing and mediumship being part of the religion. So we are a community in Western New York, and if you haven't been there, I do recommend you go visit. I'm a registered medium, as I said there, and I'm also a certified intuitive life coach. And as a life coach, I help people take action towards creating their dreams and also helping them solving their problems so they can move out of stuck emotions and issues and things that are going on. Hi, Steve. Nice to see you. I'm assuming everything is looking great tonight here, and I don't have any issues with my technology today. Loving that, I can tell you that as well. So you can connect with me at psychicmediumcolleen.com or colleenvanderzijden.com and lilydaleassembly.org. And the program book, we'll see. I think it's going to be out in March, so we will see if that's the case. I know it will be up on the website by the end of March. You'll be able to see all the workshops and everything going on. Hi, Deb. Nice to see you. So last week, we talked about uncertainty. Every week, I like to give you a new idea, something to think about to help you look at your life differently, something to give yourself a new perspective so you can connect back to your soul, your spiritual being, your essence, if you will. And this is one of my passions, is helping people look at life differently and realize they're empowered and they do not have to be stuck in their problems, their challenges, their issues, their concerns. So last week we talked about uncertainty and how to handle uncertainty. And this week's topic ties in very well with that, because we are going to be talking today about non-attachment. And I've been playing with this idea for a little bit of time now, weeks actually, that the source of our problems comes from attachment. Our pain, our suffering comes from attachment. And as I was thinking about this, I started to think about all of the different ways we attach to things. And I did a little bit of Googling because I wanted to see what else was out there. And I came across this quote from the Dalai Lama, so it's nice to know my thoughts are in alignment with his. And it said, "The attachment is the origin. The attachment is the origin, the root of suffering. Hence, it is the cause of suffering." And in my experience and my thoughts as I've explored this idea, I believe this is true. We attach to so many things. We attach to beliefs. We attach to thoughts. We attach to emotions, actions, behaviors, outcomes, possessions, expectations. My main emphasis today will mostly be on our thoughts, because my theory is the root of our attachment comes from our thoughts, how we're perceiving something and how we're reacting to it. What we want, how we want to be, our thoughts, we want things to be better. So frequently, we want things to be better. We worry about the past. We worry about the future. We are always thinking in our heads, and sometimes it's out of control up there, and we can't stop it. But once we become aware, we can change how we respond to all of these thoughts in our heads. We attach to items. That's a big one. When people start talking about detachment, and I'll talk about that in 2 seconds. When people talk about detaching and not being attached to things, and there is a slight difference between them, the first thing people think of is getting rid of all their material possessions, stories, religious beliefs. So many things have established a belief that to be a spiritual person or to be on a spiritual path, you shouldn't have anything. You should have no material possessions. That's a very old belief from a long time ago. So when people think of a spiritual path, they think they have to get rid of everything they own, and then we have some natural resistance to that. We don't want to get rid of things. But that's not the main emphasis of what we're going to talk about today. I just wanted to mention that. But we do attach to material things. And if you get upset over something breaking or disappearing or whatever, that's showing you you have an attachment to the material. So I want to make sure you understand what I'm talking about is non-attachment. Non-attachment is different than detachment. Detachment is, let's see, detachment is when we're separating, we're disconnected from our feelings, we're distant from ourselves, so we're not feeling things, we're off someplace else. That's detaching. Again, sometimes people misunderstand it as detaching from our physical belongings, and that's not the case here today, giving up our stuff. Non-attachment is a different thing totally. Non-attachment is we're still present and involved in our lives. We're still living. We're feeling deeply, which is a little different than detachment then. But non-attachment is when we're connected to our true self. We're connected to the God energy, the spirit energy. We're in the mode of trusting that life is going to work out for us. We're trusting that whatever's happening is supposed to be happening. Non-attachment means we're letting go of controlling or forcing. We're allowing the universe to guide us. What ends up happening here, if we can move into non-attachment, and it's not easy, if we can move into non-attachment, we will have a freedom to be ourselves and to live fully and completely without the worry, the stress, the attempts at control. We'll be trusting, totally trusting, spirit, God. We'll be in that state of spiritual trust. It's an amazing concept when we think about this. And people, I don't think, realize how quickly we do attach to things, ideas and thoughts and everything. And I'm looking for the comments. Metamorphosis, sometimes it just gets ripped away from us. Oh, I'm not sure what gets ripped away from us, but that's okay. It's all good. So, non-attachment. Here's some examples, some stories. I had a client quite some time ago, and I know I've mentioned this story before, so forgive me for that, but it illustrates this perfectly. She wanted her family to come visit her. She was really upset that they were not driving to her house like every Sunday and having a dinner with her and staying with her. She believed it was her children's responsibility to drive to her house and visit her, because that's what she did when she was younger. When she was younger, she drove to her grandparents' house, had dinner there, stayed there. So this woman in the present now was upset that her family, her children, were not of the same belief. They didn't do it that way. That it just didn't work for them that way. So she's attached to this belief that that's what they should be doing, and that belief was causing her misery, upset, concern. She was offended, so many negative emotions there. She believed that they should drive to her house because it's a sign of respect. That's how it was 20, 30 years ago, when 40, 50 years ago, when she was visiting her grandmother. So she's attached to this belief that something should be a certain way. Because she's attached to that belief, she is suffering. She's having pain. She's upset and she's unhappy. Okay, so that's an example of being attached to a belief. Now, somebody who's experiencing a serious illness or somebody in their family is experiencing a serious illness. Of course, we are going to be focused and attached to the thought we want them to get better. We want them to heal. Now, there's a difference between being attached to that, to the exclusion of everything else, where we're so attached to it, that's all we're thinking about. We're worrying, are they going to get better? We're very upset. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Many of us, myself included, have experienced people close to us and family or close friends who have suffered from cancer or other serious illnesses. And I know many years ago, a friend of mine was going through that, and it's all I could think about. It was all I could think about. all night long was in my head, oh my God, I hope they're going to get better. I hope they get better. I hope they get better. What if they don't get better? And you know how our minds go crazy. I call it crazy brain syndrome. You know how our minds go crazy and we're worrying and worrying, we're thinking. So then we're attached to that specific outcome. That's the only thing we can see. Okay, it's similar to what I talked about last week with the uncertainty. We get attached to something. We want something to be better or the way it used to be. The problem here is that it becomes, the more attached we are to this desire, which is realistic, natural, and normal, the more attached we become to that, the harder it is to move into that acceptance and to move forward. This attachment causes more worry and stress. Now, I'm not saying not to care about somebody who is having an illness or a struggle. That's not the case at all. I definitely want you to care. I definitely want you to send them love and prayers and all of that, but not to be attached to the outcome because we're not trusting them. We're not trusting the process of life. So not to be attached. The more attached we are, the more pain we're going to have. As I talked about last week, and I will not get into it again, I promise, with my infertility, I was attached to that one outcome, and that was causing my pain. As, you know, because of the uncertainty. That's what happens. When we have uncertainty, we attach to something trying to make ourselves feel better. Apparently, this is a two-part, goes with last week a lot. So another story. Let's see. You know, I've always been a people pleaser, trying to keep other people happy, trying to do what's expected, trying to follow the rules and be responsible. I was well-trained as a child. So if I am attached and focused on the thought that I want to please other people, I don't want to upset them, I don't want to speak my truth in case it might offend them, then I am attached to a thought that I need somebody else's approval or validation to tell me I'm worthy. Okay, I'm attached to that. If someone doesn't like me and I am attached to needing external validation, if I am attached to that and somebody doesn't like me, it is going to send me in a downward spiral, and I'm going to be so upset, right? Okay, so that's a sign of attachment. I know you ever think about sometimes, you know, when things are going well, everything's great, and then one person says one thing to you, and immediately you start doubting yourself. You question your value. You question your worth. That's because we're attached to somebody else's opinion or somebody else's thoughts, trying to fit in, belong, all of those things. This is, we do this naturally. We attach to things naturally. We don't even know we're doing it. But the whole point of my talking about this tonight is to open your eyes to the possibility that every time, I don't know if it's every time, I want you to explore with me. Every time we have pain, suffering, we are probably attached to something. Somehow we are attached to something. Years ago, I was going on this vacation to the Caribbean, and I was so excited. I love the sun. I love the beach. I love the ocean, as you know. And we get there, and what is it? It's a cloudy day. I think it's going to rain for the first 3 days. Now, at that point, I have a choice. Am I going to be attached so much to wanting this beautiful day that if it's not a nice day, if it's cloudy and rainy, am I going to be sad and upset about it? Or am I going to make the choice to go, you know what, non-attachment here. I'm not going to get attached to the fact that the weather is horrible. So I made that choice to not get attached to it, which was a different choice than I would have made in the past, because when I go on a vacation, I'm really looking forward to being in the sun. But this was probably 6 or 7 years ago. But I made the conscious choice at that time to go, you know what, I'm still going to have fun. It doesn't make a difference. At that time, I didn't recognize I was attached to this belief, and that belief was what was causing my pain. At that time, I would have blamed it on the lack of sun. Oh, it's horrible. It's not sunny. That's why I'm upset. But now I know it was internal. I was unconsciously, subconsciously choosing to allow that attachment to affect my emotions. And take a little bit of break and look at comments. Feel free, of course, everyone, to ask questions, comments. You know I love to go off track. I'll try not to do it till the end, though. Feel free to share the show as well. Sorry, the material possessions, metamorphosis thing. Sometimes the material possessions do get ripped away from us. That is so true. And that can show us a lot, can't it? Because it's very easy for us to attach to those material possessions. I have a lot of stuff. I am attached to my stuff. I am working very hard to release things and let them go. So I'm with you guys if you have the material possessions. Part of mine is I grew up without anything. We didn't have any money. So now that I can have some things, I like to have my things. So it's a very interesting thing, isn't it? Ray, you should think about working with Gaia.com. Well, you know, Ray, I'll have to check into that if you are the third person, fourth person to tell me something along that line, actually. Well, we'll see. Maybe they would love to have me. We need to remind ourselves that we're not always seeing the bigger picture, Mick is saying, yes. And that is true today. We have to make sure we are seeing the bigger picture. I did a whole show on that a year or two ago. That was fun. Joanna is saying, I was attacked today. Okay, wait a minute. Joanna, do you mean literally attacked? Like, did somebody attack you? So let me know about that. And Debbie is saying, how do you detach? I'm going to talk about that, Debbie, because I am a big how-to person. I want to let you know how to move into this. And so we are going to talk about that. Don't you worry. I'll try not to talk all night, okay? So I want to give you another example of how we attach. And this is also things that we do without awareness. Relationships. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. I cannot tell you how many times I have talked to people, clients, friends, anyone, where in a relationship what happens for some people, not everybody, of course, is that they get attached to the idea that this person is the right person, and they get to that stuck in that attachment so much that, as my daughter calls it, they become Facebook creepers. They stalk the other person on Facebook looking at all their pictures. Or, you know, it used to be people, and they may still do this, drive by people's houses, things like that, a little bit of stalking there. Or if they're in a relationship, they get very clingy and very attached to the idea of how the other person should behave, their expectations of how they should act. And when the other person does not meet our expectations that we are attached to, that's when we will cause more pain. This is not, again, to dismiss any serious issues that could be in a relationship, abuse, addiction, those things. Totally different situation. I'm talking about us having an attachment. Oh, well, you should be taking out the garbage or whatever it is. And we get attached to that, and that becomes, if they don't meet our expectations, somehow it reflects back on ourselves that, okay, well, they must not like us then, or something like that. So we have to be very cautious about these attachments. Sometimes we get that idea of attaching to somebody and the other person's not interested. I had a client a few years ago, many years ago now, who was begging me to tell her that this man that she loved, who was in another relationship, married, had kids, was going to be coming to her. And she was so attached to that idea. She was miserable. She was crying in my room, and she was so upset. The only thing she could see was what she was attached to. Her only solution was that he would leave his family and come join her, and he really didn't know anything about her, and they weren't even friends. So she was actually a little bit crazy. But there's an extreme example of attachment. So lots of times, yes, Steve is saying, laughing when you get caught in a rainstorm instead of getting mad. My daughter has said to me several times that I'm the only person she knows who will laugh when something goes wrong. I'll put my chai in the microwave to reheat it up, not realizing I've hardly had anything out of it. And so I'm not thinking and not aware when I pull it out of the microwave sometimes, and it's more full than I thought, and it would spill all over the floor, and I would just laugh. And she just thought that was the funniest thing ever. Metamorphosis. It was an adjustment, but I am learning to love and appreciate the minimalist aspect of it all. Yeah, when it comes down to it, we really don't need much, do we? We really don't. Other ways we can compare, is comparing. Attaching is comparing. We compare ourselves with other people, and then we're attached to the belief we're not good enough. We have that fear of judgment attached to certain ideas to make us feel safe. We're attached to the idea that people complete you. We're attached to those specific outcomes. We're attached to the story we tell ourselves, the false identities we have, the ideas that we're hopeless, powerless. Look at all of the things we can be attached to. We can be attached to fear, all of these things. So much of attachment does come from fear, insecurity, and feelings of lack, that there isn't enough. We don't think there's enough there. So what this does to us, attachment, and don't worry, Debbie, I'm going to get to how to get into it very soon. I'm looking to see what Candace says. Sometimes when I try to detach, it feels like I'm being selfish and not a good person. Okay, so you have to take care of yourself first. It's that whole airplane thing. You know, you got to put the mask on first before your kids. You have to take care of yourself first. You have to do what's right for you. It's never selfish to take care of yourself. And that's actually a show I've been thinking about doing, self-care versus selfish. I may or may not. We'll see. So you have to take care of yourself. If you feel like you're being selfish, then here we go, a little subconscious belief you may have, you may be attached to the feeling of having or wanting or needing to please other people. It might be an underlying belief. You're taking care of yourself, but then you feel badly. I know sometimes if I speak my truth to people, I will feel badly after, even though I know it was the right thing to do, because I still have that residual need to please. So I'm aware of it. So sometimes you have to do what you have to do and do the best you can to take care of yourself. And those feelings of upsetting somebody or whatever, it's just a natural part of your growth. And the more we do these things, the more we speak up for ourselves, the more we take care of ourselves, the more comfortable we'll be, and we won't get stuck in that feeling. And if you understand that there might be an underlying feeling there, it'll help you move into that state of non-attachment. You'll say, oh, I see what's happening. I'm attached to this feeling of needing to please that person. I understand. And awareness is more than half the battle in this case. So you'll be able to move forward with that. Hi, Dawn. Nice to see you. So attachment, what it does to us and how do we know we're attached? What it really does is it causes us to be closed off. We resist what's happening. That's when the whining, the complaining, the excuses, the struggles with uncertainty, that's what's happening. We can't see our opportunities. We focus on stereotypes and assumptions, expectations. We believe life and people should be a certain way. This is all because we are attached to certain beliefs. Now, I don't want you to move into a state of judgment or a state of hopelessness saying, I'm never going to get out of this. I can't do this. Or I'm so bad, I can't move out of this. This is, as I said, a fairly new idea for me in the past few weeks. And I've been playing with the idea. And I have to tell you, I'm having fun playing with this idea because it's like I'm going on a little treasure hunt or a curiosity hunt. I want to see why, you know, if I'm upset about something, why am I upset about it? What could I be attached to? What expectation do I have that's not being met? What is it that I'm thinking that could indicate I have an attachment? So it's a fun little game to play. Never take self-growth as an opportunity to judge yourself. Obviously, that's something you could learn, but you don't want to get sucked into that, okay? Self-growth means we're going to be our best spiritual self, live at our soul level, use our soul perspective as much as we can. So when we have those emotional reactions, that's when we can start finding out. This attachment can cause that pain, turmoil, we get stuck, we have the negative what if going on in our head, we feel like we're always wanting something and we never get it. We feel like life is too hard, or, this is fun, sometimes we force and control, and it seems too hard to make it happen the way we want. If we're trying too hard, we are attaching again. This is taking all of this, everything I've been talking about, takes us out of our peaceful, centered self. When we are in our soul energy, and we all get glimpses of it, don't we? Where all of a sudden we feel like life is flowing and we feel good and we're happy and we're content and everything seems just right. So we get those glimpses of that peaceful, centered self, who we really are. The more we learn about ourselves, the easier it becomes to connect to that soul essence within, that essence of love, peace, joy, happiness, all of those things. We'll move into that trusting where we allow life to be and we allow people to be without having that emotional trigger based on external circumstances. We choose, we're being intentional, choosing to step back into our soul to the best we can. So why do you want to be in a state of non-attachment? Well, obviously you're going to feel better. That's the big one, isn't it? Life won't bother you as much. You won't be worrying. You'll be more relaxed, all of that stuff. There have actually been studies done that non-attachment, moving into it, trying to be in it as best you can, actually reduces depression, stress, and anxiety. They have proven this time and again. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. It's not just me talking. There's actual proof here. Mick is saying so much conditioning we need to work through. Yes, that is so, so true. So much conditioning. It's so interesting because we come here, and I know I said this last week, we come here and we're so pure and innocent, and then life layers stuff on top of us, just layers and layers and layers. Then we reach a certain point in our life and we're like peeling back these layers, trying to find ourselves again. Some of the children who are being born the last 10, 15, 20 years, they don't get so many layers on themselves. It's so impressive. You know, they're a lot more outspoken and more aware than many of us were when we were younger. So we do have to peel those back. So if you can get into that state of non-attachment, the idea of it, the curiosity of exploring it, you'll have more love for yourself and other people. You'll be more accepting. You'll be more compassionate. You'll be trusting life. You'll be trusting instead of resisting. That's what's happening. We're resisting. We'll be trusting instead. We'll be moving into that state of non-judgment. Isn't that awesome? We'll be free. Huge. We will be free. We will have the freedom to be ourselves. We'll be free from the pain. Life actually becomes bigger. We still do everything we normally do. We still live in this physical life, but we're not attached to things. We're not attached to the emotions, the reactions, all of those things. So life becomes deeper and more meaningful. So to release these things, whatever, Ray is saying, how is your book going? My book is going great, Ray. It is going great. I have written, I'm in my fifth and a half chapter. My fifth chapter is very long, it's going to break in two, but I am in that. I only have 2.5 chapters to go. I am so excited. I can't even tell you guys. I am so excited about this. When it is done, this is the rough draft, okay? It's the rough draft, but when it is done, I will let you guys know. So Steve is saying, so a micromanager would be too attached to their way being the only way. Exactly. Somebody who is a control freak, they are attached to their own perceptions, expectations, and all of that. And they aren't giving people the freedom to be themselves and contribute. When people feel micromanaged, their creativity shuts down and they can't think clearly. They have resistance to what's happening around them and it causes this huge cycle of crap. I'm sure there's a better word, but we're going to use crap today. It causes a huge cycle of crap. So what we want to do to get into non-attachment is to release anything that is holding you back from the truth of who you are. Anything holding you back from the soul level, the soul perspective, letting go of anything that is not you, it is not in your essence. So there are some simple steps here, very simple. Debbie, I hope you've hung out with me this long so you get them. If not, maybe you can check it later. Ray, I will be happy to give you a copy of my book when it's out. The simple steps. Now, so you have to do these. And not necessarily in order, but they go together. Number one is you have to believe that you're responsible for yourself, that you are able and capable of making decisions that reflect who you truly are. Understanding that you do have a choice. You have a choice in how you perceive everything. If you do not believe you are yet responsible for your life and how you respond to your situation, how you respond to your emotions, how you handle them, what choices you make. If you don't believe you're responsible for those, then you are still in victim mode. Okay, you are still blaming your problems and circumstances on things outside of you. Yes, we all have problems. We all have challenges. We all have crappy things happen. It's normal. It's natural. This is the way life is. Okay, so we all have those. But if you're blaming everything on things outside of you for why you feel the way you do, then you have not quite grasped the idea that you are responsible. So keep that in mind. This is necessary to fully embrace this. And while you're responsible, this also means that you're not going to judge yourself. I know, sometimes our heads go crazy and we put ourselves down and all that. Notice it, let it go. There you go. Easy. Big one here, very big one, awareness. Awareness is huge. You have to explore your emotional reaction. You have to explore where it's coming from. What is the truth of the emotion? Are you attached to something? What is it you're attached to? Pay attention to your thoughts. See where they lead you. Are you wanting more security and that's why you're attached to something? Are you wanting a specific outcome? That's a big one. How many of us want a specific outcome? 100,000,000%. I can't tell you again how many times clients come to me and they want me to tell them what's going to happen because they want to feel better. They want that one specific outcome. So you may be attached to an outcome. So the other day, I was sitting and writing, and right below me is the pool, and there were all these kids out there screaming. Now, this is a building where it's mostly old people, but some families had come in, and there were about 8 kids out there screaming. Now, I noticed the screaming, but I'm really good about being able to block out sounds, probably from teaching for 30-whatever years, but I can block out sounds. But I started thinking to myself, boy, I wish they'd be a little bit quieter. And I thought, oh, and then I thought, well, it's kind of inconsiderate. And I'm going, oh, no, don't go there, Colleen, don't go there, Colleen. I was getting attached to the idea that they were somehow influencing my space, my quietness. Yes, they were loud, but they were kids. They were having fun. That's the way it was. But I immediately noticed it. So a simple story like that, just noticing, oh, there's a moment right there. And I could easily just move out of it. Your words can help you discover how and when or where you are attached. If you use words like, I want, always and never, you always say this to me, you never do that, I always am like this, I never do this right, that's good, that's bad, you're judging that way, this is right or wrong, shoulds or shouldn't. Oh, I should be doing this. You're attached to an idea that there's something you need to be doing. Do you really? Is it necessary? Why do you think you should be doing it? So listen to the words, and they can help you discover where you've headed, what attachment you might be having. Oh, good, Debbie. I'm glad you're still here. I thought, oh, it's taking me so long to get here. I lost you already. Hi, Barb. Nice to see you again. Yes, and so we have being responsible for yourself, understanding. It doesn't mean you do it all the time. We just do it to the best of our abilities. We're all human. So understanding you're responsible, paying attention, being aware. Awareness is probably bigger than anything. Maybe even bigger than being self-responsible. Notice judging. Judgment is a sign of attachment. Judgment lets you know that you have a belief, a thought, an idea, something you're attached to. Judgment is used. Maybe that's a really good place to start. If you notice that you tend to be somebody who judges, decide that every time you judge, that you're just going to explore it and find out what the source is. Find out what idea you're attached to. I don't want you to be thinking about too many things. So pick one thing and really focus on that and see. Judgment might be a great one. Or paying attention to your words when you use those absolute words that signal judgment and attachment. Notice those. So pick one thing and be aware with that. Then, so we've got responsible awareness. Then we have choosing to move into non-attachment, choosing to consciously, intentionally say, you know what, I'm not going to be attached to that idea anymore. You might feel a little bit hypocritical because maybe you still are attached, but make the decision. Making the decision sets the energy in motion. It opens it up immediately. Awareness, choice, decision. Opens it up, changes the energy immediately. You do not have to succeed 100% at this. Just being aware, literally, it's like you set off this wave of energy, opens the door up, and the universe says, oh, she's getting it now. Okay, let's go. We've got this for her now. And then they'll start giving you opportunities so that you can understand how powerful you are. Okay, then. Okay, I'm going to repeat them again because I want to make sure you're really getting this. Responsible for yourself, awareness, choose to move into non-attachment, and then trust the universe. Trust that the universe is there for you and it's going to help you. It's going to bring you everything you need. Trust that whatever is happening in your life is there for your growth and development. allow life to be the way it is. When we're forcing and controlling, we are resisting and not allowing. Again, we are attached to something. I am preaching today. So we have to, of course, process our difficult emotions and the challenges we have. We have to process them. So many times when we've gotten through something really tough, something that we didn't think we were going to make it through, we really doubted because it was so big, so horrible, so draining, so challenging, all of that. Sometimes when we get through that, all of a sudden we realize, you know what? Look at us, how much stronger we are, how much we learned already. And we realize that those times where we tried to force and control it, it didn't work anyway. We just wasted our time. So we want to trust and allow this, that getting through those emotions, that tough situations that we have so frequently, that also opens up the ability to move into non-attachment. You already have this ability within you. You already have it. This isn't new. Your soul already knows it. It's just now starting to come out, a little glimmer of light for you. It's just coming out now. And of course, accepting uncertainty. We have to accept that life is uncertainty. Life is impermanent. Nothing is permanent. As I said last week, the next minute, we don't know what's really going to happen in the next minute. We think I'm going to keep talking, and I probably will. But hey, technology, never know. So we have to just go with it and accept this uncertainty. Now, for those of you who want some specific, even more specific ideas, one of my most favorite exercises, and I was just writing about this today, and that's when I thought, oh my goodness, I need to be talking about this tonight. I actually got up, added it to my notes. This exercise is called Let Go and Trust. Okay, we're letting go of whatever we're letting go of, and we're trusting, moving into trust. What I do with this exercise is so if I have a problem of whatever it is, I will say I let go of, and I start with an emotion. Okay, so I'm going to pick, what am I going to talk about? I'm going to talk about relationships again, because I tell you, it's like 80% of my conversations with clients and friends. So I had a relationship end a couple years ago. And it was a bit tough there for a bit, because I had to get used to the new reality of things. It needed to end, but there was still, you know, when something ends as big, you need to process it. I was still working on processing. So as I was walking one day, I was thinking about this, and I'm going, I let go of my frustrations with that relationship. I let go of my anger. So what was happening is, as I mentioned one emotion, the next emotion would come up. So I let go of my frustrations, and then in my head, I'm like, man, I'm freaking angry. I let go of my anger. I let go of my feelings of lack of control. I let go of whatever, and I just followed it as far as I needed to follow it until I felt complete. So I consciously named the emotion, so that I could recognize them. And each emotion led me to another emotion, which eventually led me to beliefs related to, I'm not good enough. He did this. I should have done that. All of those things led me to beliefs. And then eventually it's like, okay, I let go of the relationship. So this is a way to move through those emotions. The next step then is to say, I trust. I trust I'm exactly where I need to be. I trust the process of life. I trust that the universe is showing me what I need to know to become my best person. I'm trusting that God is going to help me get through the emotions. I'm trusting that I'm going to make it through the emotions. And I would just go with that until I felt complete with that. So let go and trust is a very powerful exercise to do. You can do it as many times as you want. You can do it for anything, any situation, any problem. Yes, you may feel hypocritical at points saying, well, I don't really feel that yet, but that's okay. That's normal. Because saying the words, being open to the words, again, allows that universe to come in and help you let go, release, and move into that trust. It is magical. I am telling you, it is magical. There are not many things I think are magical in life. That's one of them. Okay. Yeah, Ashley, I know. I do preach sometimes. I am an ordained minister 3 times. So we'll see. Sometimes I do move into that. I get passionate. about my lessons, and I get passionate when I'm teaching and helping people. And I know that lots of times I do get inspired, so I am getting the connections in that do help. Now, another thing that you can do with that, I'm going to use let go and trust one more time. So say you have, you want this great job. You really want this job, but you don't get the job. Okay, so I let go of my sadness about getting the job. I let go of this. I let go of my hopes and dreams. I let go of the money I was going to get. Whatever it is, you just let go. I trust that something better is coming. What if, and that's another one of my favorite games, what if what's happened is the absolute best thing to happen for you? You didn't get that job, that relationship ended. What if it's the best thing? What if it's protecting you from a horrible situation? What if it's protecting you from something that would have really been much worse for you? Much worse. What if it's keeping you? What if you're not getting the job or the relationship ending is moving you into that state of intermission, I call it, where we're waiting for the right thing to come to us? We're catching up vibrationally to whatever it is we want. You know, with the manifestation and the uncertainties, all those things, we're catching up. What if what's happening is for your highest and best? It is. But what if we really believed it? So ask yourself that question too. What if? Another thing you can do, and this will be my last thing, and then I will stop talking. How am I doing? Not too bad, I guess. Another thing that is very important when we're in the state of attachment. You'll notice when you're attached to something, you are focused any place other than right now in the present. You're focused on the outcome in the future. You're focused on what you said or did in the past and what people might think of you because of it. You're focused on what you should have said, could have said, should be saying. You're focused on anything other than the present. So if you're having a hard time just kind of releasing the attachment and moving, you know, feeling like you're really moving for that, that's okay. Pick one of these things and stick with it. Stay in the present. Just take yourself back to the present. In this moment, everything is perfect. That always gets me right back here. If I start getting too far ahead or behind in my mind, in this moment, everything is perfect. That can help you move out of attachment too, because you're bringing yourself back to this moment where you are, and where you are when you're in this moment is with your soul. You're back to your soul again. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. So here I am getting all excited again. I wholeheartedly believe this metamorphosis. Yes, that is awesome. So that is what I wanted to talk about today. It is so interesting to me. I'm not really sure what I'm going to talk about next week. I have some thoughts, but I'm just not sure yet. So apparently the thoughts I've had are not quite there. I still want to talk about grief, and maybe I'll do that. I want to talk about grief. I want to talk about how we handle it ourselves. I want to talk about how we can support other people who are experiencing grief. I want to talk about the importance of stepping into the grief. Maybe I will talk about grief next week. Listen to me go. I want to talk about how important it is that we understand the grief process and how important it is for us. So maybe I'll talk about grief. We'll see. Let me know what you think. If you want me to talk about grief, let me do that. I thought also about, what was the other thing that I had thought about? Look, it went out of my head. So there you go. We'll see. I'll let you know. So if you have any questions, ask them now. Otherwise, I will start wrapping up. So you can connect with me at ColleenVanderZijden.com or quicklink. psychicmediumcolleen.com, and also on Facebook, Colleen Van Der Zijden, Medium and Intuitive Life Coach, and please do follow me there. I would love that. And LilydaleAssembly.org is the website. On Facebook, Lilydale Assembly Incorporated. You should follow them there. As I said last week, they are posting some of the events that are upcoming for this summer. And this summer, I'm teaching an empowering, let's see, what is it called? Something about empowering empaths, something like that. Empowered empaths? Boy, I don't know where my head is right now. I'm out there now. So something about being an empowered empath. And then I'm also teaching a grief workshop on helping people process their emotions. So when I do talk about it here, it'll be a little preview. for what we're going to be talking about at Lilydale. That is part of a whole grief weekend. If you haven't heard yet, it's something like July 17th, 18th, that weekend. 3 days, there'll be a keynote speaker. There'll be a few workshops. They're going to do a butterfly release. We're going to do a message service on that Saturday night. All the people who are teaching workshops and part of this are going to be serving as mediums, so I will be there for that. I'm also in charge of the 4 o'clock Forest Temple service that week, so you can find me there as well. So let's check in to see questions. Candace, makes so much sense. How great would it be to go with the flow and release cycle of crap? Yes, I know. That's actually one of my magical mind games. I call these things all magical mind games because I'm taking our mind and giving us a new perspective that does create magic as it connects us back to our inner magic, our inner power. Yes, and go with the flow is one of them. I've had to consciously say it out loud. I'm going with the flow. I'm going with the flow. I'm going with the flow. So many people don't practice. We understand things. Intellectually, we understand go with the flow, but do we consciously decide to try it and do it? One thing, one step, one decision to open your mind up to a new perspective will lead to the next one and lead to the next one, lead to the next one. It's amazing. That's actually what my book is all about. It's all of these steps and ideas that people can use to get a new perspective and let go of these self-limiting thoughts we have. That's what it's all about. So awesome. I'm having so much fun writing it. Allison, I'm so glad that's helping you. Thank you, Mick. Ashley, I would love to talk about grief. I'm working. Oh, you are the doula person. Okay, Ashley, now, private conversation, everybody. My mother called me, and she was so interested in what you were doing, and I told her to message you, and she felt a little uncomfortable with that, and I said, Mom, it would be okay. I don't know Ashley, but I can tell if she's an end-of-life doula, and working on that, she's a kind person, and she wouldn't mind if you messaged her. So if my mother ever does message you, she just wants to know more about it, and I still want to talk to you. I've told you this 3 times. I still want to talk to you. If you ever come to Lilydale, I want to hang out with you, and we're going to talk. Darlene is saying, yes, grief. Sounds like go with grief. Yes, metamorphosis. Yes, grief topic. Okay, I'll be talking about grief next week. Won't that be fun? Thanks for watching, Alberta. You've probably already taken off. And thank you, Metamorphosis, for wanting to read my book. Okay, everybody, I will wrap up. I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. It is always such a pleasure to talk to you and share my ideas, and I really appreciate you being open to these ideas, and I really love when you guys write comments and contact me and ask questions. I just love that because I want to be of service to you to help you in your growth and development the best way I can. So if you have something you want me to teach, share, explain, anything, let me know because I really, really, truly do want to be of service. That is my passion, my purpose. It is not for my own ego because that's not my point. That's not how I operate. I've always been a teacher. That's what I do. So let me know and I will be happy to help you. Okay, I will tell her, Ashley. I'm sure I'll be talking to her soon. And you're in Ashley a lot, or Lilydale. You're in Ashley. Lilydale a lot. Excellent. Barb, trust. I'm right where I need to be at this moment. Perfect. When will the book be out? That's such a good question, Billy. The plan right now is to hire the editor next month after I have the rough draft done and I've gone through it and kind of cleaned some of it up a little bit. I don't know if it'll be out before Lilydale season or not, but believe me, I will let you know. It will be this year, though. So that's you can't even imagine how exciting this is to me because it's been a dream for so very long and it's actually happening. So I'm really happy with myself for having done this. So thank you, everybody. I will wrap up because I will talk to you forever. You guys have the most wonderful night, and I will see you next week. You have fun. Bye.